Okay. So just starting off the Masechta, we're not really going to touch on all the major inyanim of chametz and bedikas chametz, bir chametz. I'll try to just do next time. We'll talk a little bit about bedika and bir chametz in terms of machlokas Rashi Tosfos. But today I just want to touch on the Tosfos side point, that the second point that Tosfos brings up, which is based on the first point that Tosfos brings up. So we'll try to go through the Tosfos a little bit and concentrate more on the second part of Tosfos than the first part of Tosfos. So the Gemara start, the Mishnah starts off, Or l'arbasar, bodkin es hachametz l'or haner. So you're supposed to do bedikas chametz to the light of a candle. So Rashi says, what is the purpose of bodkin? What is the purpose of bedikas chametz? So there aren't, you're not going to find one really. I think I might have taken the last one. Yeah, right, I'm saying there aren't too many lying around there. Oh, you got one? Oh, I stand corrected. So Rashi says, "Bodkin shelo yavar alav b'valyira b'alyimatzei." So you shouldn't violate valyira b'alyimatzei, right? And keep in mind, I know this is a baby ha'ara, but people make this mistake all the time. Notice the word spelling of baal, right? Beis lamed. It's not baal yira baal yimatzei, right? It's lashon baal like al. Do not, right? Anyway, so we don't want you to violate Bayirah Bayimatsi. So Tosfos is very upset about this particular point in Rashi. So Tosfos starts off right away. What's the purpose of Bedika? Pirusha Kunchtel, Lavra, Lava, Bayirah Bayimatsi. So you don't violate Bayirah Bayimatsi. Kashalari. Kevon, the Tzarech Bittel, Kida Amar, Begemara, Bo, the Tzarech Sheyivatel. The Gemara says Beferish that they made a takana, that you have to do Bittel after you do Bedika. And the Gemara also says, in passing on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Midoraisa Bebitul Ba'al Masagi. So the Gemara says, Beferish Midoraisa, to avoid Ba'yirah Ba'yimatse, all you need is Bittul. And not only that, but there was a Takana Midorabana that you have to do Bittul. So Amayet Tzricho Chacham Bedika Klal. So according to Rashi, there's no longer any point in doing Bedikas Chametz. Because of the whole point of it was to avoid Ba'yirah. So we took care of that by instituting bittul chametz. And once you do bittul, so you're not going to violate bayira. V'nira l'ri, de'afal gav de'sagi b'bittul ba'alma, hechmiru chachamim livdok chametz ulevaru shelo yavol ochlo. The real reason for bedikas chametz, even though in achinami, you're not going to violate bayira after you do bittul, but there's a separate chashash. Shelo yavol ochlo. And nothing's going to stop you. The fact that you did bittul is not going to stop you from eating chametz. So if you have a house full of chametz, you own a donut shop, and you do bittul on the entire donut shop, which Tosfos says means you're mafkir the entire contents of the donut shop. You make everything hefker that anyone who wants can come and get it. So you haven't really solved the main problem, is that when you leave your house every day, you're going to see the donuts and you're going to want to eat them. And maybe one day during the yontif, you'll succumb to your desire and you're going to eat the chametz and you're going to be chayv karis. So the chachamim required that you, in addition to being mevatel the chametz, you also have to get rid of it. Chayin mashma l'kamen, deboi rav akikar b'shmei korah. Right? All right, without getting into his raya, maybe we'll deal with it a different time. He has a raya from the case of a kikar b'shmei korah, that if you have, you know for a fact that there's a loaf of bread up in a place where it's inaccessible, do you have to get rid of it or not? So they say one of the svaras is, Odilma zimnin denaf of asi lemichle. So maybe it'll fall down and then you're going to eat it. So it says pretty clearly in the Gemara that we're choshesh for achila. And therefore, that was the reason for Bedika, not like Rashi says that it's a chashash shemayavar b'vayirah b'ayimatzi. That's the way Tosfos wants to learn.
According to Tosfos, you can bypass the isra b'ayimatzi even if the thing is still tangibly there.
Like, yeah. It's not yours. B'ayirah b'ayimatzi. Right. B'ayirah b'ayimatzi are two separate lavin, but you basically violate both in certain circumstances, and only one and the other, right? You violate b'ayimatzi just by owning chametz. That means that it doesn't have anything to do with finding chametz, right? It says it has to do with owning chametz. If you have chametz in your rishus, and that's b'ayimatzi, and you violate, in addition to b'ayimatzi, you also violate b'ayirah if it's visible to you. So you always violate b'ayimatze by owning chametz, and in addition, you violate b'ayira if you own it and you see it. So that's the idea.
The first requirement is owning it, but if you do bittul, then
you don't own it. Right. So we're gonna have to show how this is perhaps a lishitas or machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, perhaps not, but it's possible that because Rashi understands bittul absolutely in a different way than Tosfos understands bittul, we always were brought up understanding that bittul means hefker. Right? That's not so poshut at all. That sheetas of Tosfos, also kind of the sheetas of Ran, but the Rashi and the Rambam and others do not understand bittul in that fashion.
We saw that Tosfos on Daf Dalet, where Tosfos quotes Rashi and he says that like pretty clearly understood that Rashi Shita is that it's a din tashbisu.
Right.
It's functioning in terms of tashbisu.
Right.
So like Tosfos has this whole question, oh, like according to you, why we need bittul? Why do you need bittul? Like it's so clear that according to Rashi, like bittul has a totally different function.
Right.
You can't enter from bittul onto bedika.
Right.
Tosfos knows that. I don't know. It's a weird question.
So it's lav dafka that Tosfos knows for a fact. Meaning Tosfos is just putting that together the Gemara. He's saying, forgetting about what I hold bittul is, forgetting about what you hold bittul is, it's quite possible that you could ask this kasha against Rashi Lashita, so you're still going to need to answer it. But Lemaisa, once you formulate a big picture of how Rashi views the bedika bittul process versus how Tosfos views the bedika bittul process, you could say that Lashita, so Rashi holds that this is a Bayirah, Bayimatzi issue versus Tosfos holds not that way. But you don't have to. There are definitely many ways. I mean, we could really spend weeks just talking out this Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ran, and throwing the Ramban and the Rambam in terms of what the function of everything is. And you can everybody made a living writing up Torah on this particular topic. So there's really so many different ways that you can look at it. But just in terms of getting the pashup shot, it doesn't have to be a lishitaso, but it could be a lishitaso. We'll try to at least spell out the ABCs. I'm sort of committed not to saying more than 10 or so shiurim on the first parak. So I don't want to, like, we'll do one, and whatever happens. And then, you know, if there's plenty of places to be ma'ayan if you want to spend the rest of your life hocking out, you know, the first sugya in Pesachim. Okay, so that's the first half of Tosfos. So once Tosfos said it's a chashash shema yavo la'ochlo, now Tosfos opened himself up to a different kasha. If you go with Rashi Shita, you're not open to this kasha per se. But you are open to this kasha if you go like Tosfos. So what is the kasha? So Tosfos doesn't ask the kasha, they just answer it. Right, so he says, where is it here? Right, so already Tosfos answered one kasha without asking it. Right, what kasha did Tosfos just answer without asking?
Where?
So again, Tosfos just said the Isser is Shema Yovel Ochlo, right? So therefore, they said you have to do Bedika. So now, so the kasha is... So Maishna Chometz, why Dafka by Chometz is there a takana mid the Rabbanan of Bedikas Chometz? So Vatam Shehichmiru Kan Tfemi Bishari Suriyana Shelo Hitzrichu Levaram. Right? So what answer, just in that line, Tosfos already negated one aspect of the Kasha. Right, but the Kasha is why it's special for Chometz. Why special for Chometz versus what? Shari Suri Hanna, right? Tosfos says Suri Hanna. Right away, Tosfos does it. Well, there's no Isser to have Nevela lying around in your house, right? Hashemi Yavala Ochlo. Let's say you have meat for the dog, right? Lakelev Tashlichano. So you bought yourself some Nevela. You want to be Makayim, the Pasuk, that when you have Nevela, you throw it to the dog. So you have a dog for some inexplicable reason, and you decide you're going to throw it some Nevela meat. So you buy Nevela, you put it in the fridge. Are the Chachamim Matzrich that you should throw that away? No, why not? We see by Chometz, Shema Yavala Ochlo. Right? So why don't you have to throw it in? So right away, Tosfos is dismissing that kasha by saying, we're only talking Isuri Hanoah here. There's definitely Isuri Achila. There was never a Havamina that the Chachamim were going to tell you to get rid of that. Okay, but Isuri Hanoah, that's more heavy duty. So now what are we gonna say about that?
It's less machmir?
No, there's more machmir by Isuri Hanoah. Isuri Achila, there are so many other functions that they could serve. So the Chacham can't tell you, throw away the Nevela. The Pasuk says, right, without bringing that, the whole Taz business, you know, but I'm saying, the Pasuk says, Lakelev Tashlichon Oso. So you can't throw it to the dog if the Chacham told you got to get rid of it. You understand? So right away, Tosfos is saying, no, We're not talking about Isurei Achila. Those have other functions that they serve. And of course you're allowed to leave those lying around the house. You don't have to check every single thing in your house to see if it's kosher, as long as it's not an Isur Hanoah. That's already the first, that Tosa's taking care of that in the Lashon of the Kasha, or the Lashon of the answer to the unwritten Kasha. So that's already point one. Tosa says, what about Shari Surei Hanoah? What's the chilik over here? So he says right away, this, the important teretz is, Mishum dechametz mutter kol hashana velo nesa rak bepesach velo bedile mine. Those three, the key words, lo bedile mine. When it comes to Pesach, that which was mutter all year round is now usur, and therefore people don't know to separate themselves from it. You know, the mashal is the diet versus the basar b'chalav, right? Well, the people that are on a diet, and they cheat on their diet constantly. They know, mamish, that they're overweight and it's going to kill them if they cheat on their diet too much. But what are you going to do? So what's this? So they come up with a great eitzah. They come up with a great eitzah. What's the eitzah? So what's their big weaknesses for ice cream or chocolate or candy bars or whatever? So they eat fleishik for lunch every day. Right? Why is it brilliant eitzah? And now I'm fleishik. I can't eat milchik for 6 hours. And mamela, I'm probably going to eat something fleishik for dinner, so I won't have any taiva for ice cream whatsoever. So how does that help? So the answer is because cheating on the diet, it's lo bedile mine. It's something that I'm used to eating things that aren't good for me. So, you'll tell me, shmartem od nafsho shoseichem, you have to take care of your health. Yeah, but it's not on my radar. You know, basar b'chalav, I know, you'll tell me, it's barely an iser derabanan to wait 6 hours. What are we even talking about here? Right, but no, the answer is it works because people, they know to have their guard up at certain times. I'm always cheshbening. Am I milchik? Am I milchik? Am I milchik? Right? A person's always cheshbening. Are they milchik? Versus person's not cheshbening. Am I on a diet? That already, you know, goes out the window. So that's what Tosfos is saying, that chametz b'pesach, you eat donuts all year round. You eat pizza all year round. So when you see the pizza, you just eat it. Mashenkin, other isuri hanah. Right, it says, "V'lo dami l'basar v'chalav v'orlo v'kiloy akerem she'as isuram noe gisur olam." Can't compare it to these other isurei hanah like basar v'chalav, orlo, kiloy akerem, that those are isurei olam. Right, then the nazir. What about the nazir? Nami isurei shari l'achrine. Right, a nazir also, even though you're right that might be a great example of lo bedile mine because he's only a nazir for a finite period of time. But it's shari l'achrini, so the chacham aren't going to tell him to get rid of it because he might have a family that's able to have it. And therefore, just because he's not going to be allowed to make kiddush on wine doesn't mean his wife can't make kiddush on wine or his kids or whatever. So why should he have to throw it out of the house? So that's the first answer. Second answer, inami, shayni chamet shechmira batorah lavo b'bayiroah b'bayimatze hechmira chachamim livdok levaro. Filo heichu debitla mishem dil ma'asi lemichle. Or maybe no, because we see that the Torah itself piled on the chumras when it came to chametz, that there's an isser even to own it. So mamela, we wanted to, so the Rabbanan called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came to Raisa Tikkun, we wanted to pile on the chumras as well. And we said, you have to go out and get it and get rid of it. Even though there's a way around the isser d'oraisa by Uriah. So mid the Rabbanan, we said that obviously the Torah is telling us we don't want this around. Shemayavala achlo. And therefore, we get rid of it, even though there's no real chomer ha'isser more so than the other isuri hanah in the eating department, at least. So that's the second answer. Okay, so first of all, just an important ha'ara in the first answer. I just saw a few minutes ago in Rosh Shlomo Zalman Shiurim, he points out that the Lashon isur olam, don't get confused when it says by orla, Basar b'chalav orla kilaya kerem, that it's noeg isser olam. It doesn't mean that it's usser forever. It's not totally in whether or not it's usser now. It's usser now for a week versus going to be mutter in some time, as opposed to it's usser forever. That's not the ikker koveis. Because for example, let's say tevel, right? Tevel is something which is not an isser olam, but certainly falls under the category of something that you're not mechuyev to be mevar the tevel from your house. You separate trumas and maisers, right? So it's not an iser olam. So you would think that, okay, now I have to search out all my tevel and burn it or whatever. No, obviously not. Right? So it doesn't mean iser olam. It means something which is constantly usser versus something which is temporarily usser. Meaning basar v'chalav is always usser. Kilei hakerem is always usser. So I'm on guard for these things 24/7. Even though they become, it's not, even though chametz is going to become mutter later, that's not what doesn't make it an iser olam. The fact that it's sometimes mutter, sometimes usser, is what makes it not an iser olam, and that's why I'm not on guard for it. It's just important horror in the reading of the Tosfos. You shouldn't be confused by those words, iser olam. Okay, but in terms of this svar of lo bedile mine, this is an important yisod that we have to work on. So, as you know, I try as much as possible to steer everything to Inyone Yaradeya. So I just wanted to speak out something. If you ever seen the Sefer Bari HaShulchan, it's a very important Sefer. He has a few volumes. He has on two volumes on Taruvos. He has a volume on Basar V'Chalav. He has a volume on Hilchos Nida. He came out fairly recently, I think within a year or two, on Hilchos Avelos. So it's important svarim. So he has two sections there. He styled it after the Mishnah Berurah. So he has the Mishnah Berurah looking section, which is a commentary which really does a great job of helping you understand Pashut Pshat in the Mechaber and the Ramah with the basic ha'aris of the Shach and the Taz, and then also, you know, and then he has the Biurim, which is just regular lumdus either in Halacha or just Stam lumdus.
Is that supposed to be like Biur Halacha?
Yeah, like the Biur Halacha, exactly. So he has this both in the Biurim in Simen Pei Zayin in Hilchos, but the beginning of Basar V'Chalav in Simen Pei Zayin in Sifkat and Ches in the Bari HaShulchan part, and then in the Biurim it's also the Ramaschal Isser Hanah. So he quotes two Achronim on the Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, the Solis Lemincha and the Beis Hillel. These two Achronim have the following comment that you're not allowed to leave Basar V'Chalav lying around your house. Right, lying around your house, shema yavali de takola, that perhaps you're going to wind up violating either eating the basar v'chalav or being nana from the basar v'chalav. We're afraid something wrong is going to happen because you left it around the house. It's against the beferish of Tosfos at the beginning of Psachim. Even if you don't know Tosfos and Psachim, you know the first Tosfos and Psachim, right? So how could you say that it's not that you're chayiv to get rid of the basar v'chalav? Tosfos dafke asked the kasha, says, how come you're not chayiv to get rid of basar v'chalav? So they want to say that you are chayiv to get rid of basar v'chalav. No, that's not what Tosfos meant, right? He's saying that Tosfos was just saying, how come there's no chayiv to do a bedika after basar v'chalav? Meaning how come you don't have to constantly be on guard to make sure that there's no basar v'chalav in your house? That's the question. Meaning, you have to be on guard to make sure that there's no chametz in your house. So, how come you don't have to do similar bedikos from time to time to make sure that there's nothing that's basar b'chalav? But certainly, Tosfos would agree that if you made something into basar b'chalav, it's a davar pashut, that of course you have to get rid of it immediately, and you're not allowed to leave it around the house. Yeah. So Lamaisa, the words of Tosfos don't support that at all. The Bari HaShulchan is very upset by this comment. He doesn't think that this makes any sense. He says that if you read the Tosfos,
who said
that
explanation in Tosfos that these other Achronim?
Yeah. Yes, he says that's not reading the Tosfos correctly. Tosfos says we're talking about being mevara them. We're talking about getting rid of them. We're not talking about searching them out. He says forgetting about the words. Anybody can read words. You know, you make the words say what you want them to say. But Lamaisa, Naniach, that it's against the words of Tosfos. In addition to that, conceptually speaking, Mehecha Tesi, that somebody should think that he has Basar V'Chalav lying around his house somewhere. Where does it come in that you should start thinking along those lines? But I'm going to think, you know, I haven't done a Bedikas Basar V'Chalav in some time. I should probably look around my kitchen to make sure that nothing in there is Basar V'Chalav. You know, where do we come up with such a svara? Why would you think? Right, so this, I mean, it's a strong kasha. So just in terms of explaining this part, this possible understanding in Tosfos. So perhaps the way they understood Tosfos is just that the Chachamim went out of their way to make a takana, that you should do bedikas chametz. Why is it that they made a takana to search for chametz, and they didn't make a takana to search for shari surim. Why didn't they make a takana that from some time or another over the course of the year, lav dafka just possible chalaf, but anything? Maybe you should just do periodic sweeps of your house, or if you're a farmer, of your storehouse, and make sure that there's no dvar masurim in there. Why didn't they make such a takana? Because lemaisa, I think that everybody could agree. Remember, we learned in Ksuvis last year on Daf Yates. Who remembers some of the Isurim that we talked about? Yates Amid Alf, the Oan over to Yates Amid Beis. Shtar Parua, right? Sefer Sheino Moge. Right? So those we're talking about things, certain things you're not allowed to keep in your house because of the Pasuk, Al Tashkin Balecha Avlo. You're not supposed to keep things in the house which are going to cause you to slip. They're going to cause you to do averus. Right, you're not supposed to even keep a sefer Sheino Moge. You're not supposed to keep a sefer Torah that has some mistakes. The Rosh over there famously writes that he says that you shouldn't keep a sefer Torah because you're going to learn Torah and it's going to have the wrong pshat in there, and you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. So you're going to paskin shilas the wrong way. I always thought maybe that Rosh is hand in hand with his famous shita about the mitzvah of kisvu lachem asashir azos, right? That the Rosh has the famous shita about writing a Sefer Torah, that you mekayim a Sefer Torah by Shar Svarim. So too, the Rosh in the sugya of Sefer Sheino Moge, he says, not just talking about a Sefer Torah that has a mistake in it, it's also talking about other Svarim. Right? Anytime it refers to Sefer Torah, it's always talking about Svarim. Because the goal is all goal of learning. That's the theme the Rosh has, at least in those two halachas. Even so, a shtar parua, we say that, yeah, he might blackmail the guy with a shtar parua, might come to a serious avera, or the Sefer Torah Sheino Moge might come to make a mistake. So we see that there is an inyan of al tashkin balecha avla. We see that there is an inyan of not keeping things around. So certainly one could argue, based on this halacha, that you're not allowed to leave basa b'chalav or kiloya kerem or anything like that lying around the house because of this separate issue. You're not supposed to leave things around your house that are going to cause a takala. So if that's true, then even Tosus would have to agree that you're not allowed to leave these things around the Chachila. So Tosus Kasha would now make no sense. Well, how come they weren't Misakin that you have to get rid of the Basa B'Chalav? Of course you have to get rid of the Basa B'Chalav. What do you have? You're going to have a refrigerator filled with Basa B'Chalav? Or even worse, it's not going to be filled with Basa B'Chalav. It's going to be filled with Dvar Mutarim. And there's going to be one steak that was cooked together with milk. So you're going to leave that in the fridge? So what's the havamina that's mutter? Your son's going to come home from school. He's going to sit down. Oh, look, a steak, gevaldik. He's going to eat it and he's going to violate achilas bas b'chalav. Or worse, he'll heat it up again. So shaila whether it's bishul achar bishul by bas b'chalav. So he says he's going to heat it up, violate bishul achar bishul. Then he's going to eat it. So he's going to violate two isurim. So you're supposed to leave that in the fridge, according to the Bnei Shulchan. That's okay. Leave it in the fridge. Avada not. You have to get rid of it. So then the kasha has to be, why is it that the Chachamim weren't misakin an iser, why weren't they misakin a chiyuv to get rid of it by searching it out? Why wasn't there a formal takana? Yeah.
In the case of like
shtar
parua, what would you say, if you have a suffix whether you have shtar parua in your house, so what would you have to check to make sure? It seems like the pasuk says like you should have an avla. That means like if I have a shtar parua right there, so I'm going to be tempted to use it again. I don't even know if I have one, so there's no temptation.
No, so inachinami. That's the point. That's what Tosfos is saying. Of course, there's no din that you have to search it out.
That's what I'm saying. What would be the reason why you would have to search it out? If right now, you don't even know if you have basar achal.
Right.
So you're gonna check your house just in case you do, because lest you one time find it and eat it.
Well, in other words,
Shema Yavu Achlu, just like we're saying by Chavetz.
Well, again, you're bringing up a good point. This is basically what the Bnei Shulchan says. But the counter argument is, then what's the Kasha of Tosfos? The Kasha of Tosfos is, why is there no din that you have to get rid of these things? Of course you have to get rid of them. If you know b'vados that you have something which is going to be maybe l'idei takala, so you have to get rid of it. So how could you say that? So Tosfos then comes and says, okay, so naniach, that there's such an iser exists. Why didn't they make a takana that you should do periodic sweeps of your house? Make sure there's no dvar masurim. Well, chances are you won't find anything, but just in case. Right? So that's the way they're understanding the kasha and Tosfos. So I just saw yesterday, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman basically says that that's the pshat in in Os Gimel, in the Kovet Shiurim, he says basically that's the pshat, that it's dafka, why were they misaking the, right, why they were misaking the takana of chipus, why did they say that you dafka have to search it out? That was the kasha of Tosfos, not necessarily why do you have to get rid of it? Because maybe you could say, of course you have to get rid of it. Lamaisa, the kasha stands that the words of Tosfos don't say that. Right, so the words of Tosfos definitely seem to support the Bar'ei Shulchan's understanding of that no, there is no chiyuv to be mevarit, and why didn't they make a chiyuv to be mevarit? That's the simple understanding of Tosfos like the Bar'ei Shulchan. I just wanted to at least give an explanation to those who want to say that maybe that there is actually, and obviously the nafka minin would be, is there actually a chiyuv to get rid of basar v'chalav? If you make something basar v'chalav, or much more poshut, is there a chiyuv, let's say you trafed up a pot, is there a chiyuv to then get rid of that pot? Is there a chiyuv to kasher it right away? Or can you leave it? You know, leave it till Pesach time. You know, we'll put it in the Pesach. So if you have a Pesach cabinet, so then maybe you could say, all right, I'll put it in the Pesach kasher, not the regular Pesach dishes. I'm saying the Pesach kashering cabinet, you know. Every year you kasher whatever you want to kasher. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we're wealthy. We don't kasher that many things. So kasher, in my house, we kasher Kiddush cups. Anything else? I don't know. I feel like we kasher some other. We kasher Kiddush cups and trafe things. That's what we do, Erev Pesach. You know, we kasher the Kiddush cups and any silverware that we trafed up over the course of the year. So you leave it in there. So that of course. But Lamaisa, is there even a chiyuv to do that? Could be, according to the Bar'ei Shulchan, if you trafed up a pot, there's no real chiyuv to do that. Although, no sekeil talk about that. But Lamaisa, if you read the Tosfos, you could read the Tosfos saying, if you have basar v'chalav, or if you have a pot that's balua basar v'chalav, then maybe there's no chiyuv to do anything about it. And that was the kasha of Tosfos. So no, it's poshut that you have a chiyuv to do something about it. Just the question is, do you have to look around and make sure that you don't have any serum lying around your house? Okay, well, maybe that's the... Yeah?
Why didn't Tosfos just give an answer that when it comes to chamin, it's like finding it itself is an isser as opposed to basar chalav, the isser would be to eat it.
No, because Tosfos is saying it's Shema Yavalot, this building off the previous statement of Tosfos. Because the Kasha doesn't start according to Rashi. Rashi was saying the whole reason for Bedika is Bayirah Bayimatzi. Tosfos is saying, no, Bayirah Bayimatzi already took care of Bittel. So now, Isser of Chametz is on equal footing with every other Isser Hanah in the Torah, except for the Chi of Karis part of it. So, but Lemaisa, now it's similar to every other Isser, because there's no Chashash Bayirah Bayimatzi, you're going to do Bittel every time. And the only reason to bedika shema yovel ochlo. Okay, so there's a lot of things you're not allowed to eat. So how come we didn't ask for those? So we said right away it takes care of the problem of stami suri achila, because that you're allowed to have suri achila lying around the house. You can have dog food that's not kosher.
We said according to Rashi this wouldn't be a kasha at all because it's chiv d'oraisa.
Yeah, according to Rashi we're not getting involved in this. You could ask the kasha on Rashi too, but not based on what we've mentioned because you're not going to. There's a much different reason to bedika chametz versus everything else. Yeah.
Is that not with the pot? Would that be, I mean, it would even the, like, I guess, these other Achronim who say that you actually do have to get rid of Basar Chalav, like, would they, I mean, a pot is, like, it's, is that different than food, anyway? Like, it's not really, like, I mean,
well, certainly if you cook with a pot, like that's a ben yomo. No, the pot is not an Isser Hanav. The bliya in the pot is Isser Hanav. For example, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you cook basar v'chalav in a pot, so technically the pot is balua basar v'chalav is also b'hanav, but if you wanted to put flowers in there, or even if you wanted to put like oranges and apples in there, so it would be mutter to do so because you're not being nene from the basar v'chalav that's in there.
Right.
So, okay.
So why would, for anyone, would you have to...
Because it's a takala. There's a takala that can come from it.
Right.
Saying, the Magen Avraham quotes, there's a minig not to kasher things back and forth. We don't go kashering pots from basar to chalav, from chalav to basar, just because we don't want people to forget. So we try very hard not to get involved with that. Okay. All right, so going a little bit further on the Tosfos, there's a Sfasemis that asks the following Kashan Tosfos. Says, if you look in the Mishnayos and Maseches Tmura, the Mishnah is in Perek Zion, Mishnah Hay. So he says, how could Tosfos be saying that there's no chiyuv to be mevar shari suriana? So he says, if you look in the Mishnah there, it says Masha derech likvor yikvor, Masha derech lisrof yisrof. Meaning, it says there's certain isurim that you're supposed to bury them, and there's certain isurim that you're supposed to burn them. So it sounds like the Mishnah is telling you, if you have something which requires burning, burn it. Meaning, if you have basa b'chol, what are you supposed to do? You got to flush it down the toilet right away. If you have, if you have orla, you should burn it right away. What? That was a Mishnah in Maseches Temura. So, and he basically leaves the kasha with the tzarech iyun. So I thought maybe you could explain that Mishnah is not really talking about the same thing as Tosfos. Meaning, because it's not, even though normally there are many who assume, perhaps the majority opinion is that they assume that things like orla require sreifa, because orla is mentioned in terms of sreifa versus basav chalav, which does not require sreifa. So there's a Chuvas Chasim Sofer. There's two places in the Chasim Sofer, but the more telling place is in Yaradeya, Simon Reish Pei Vav. There's a little bit differently written in the Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Tes. Divra Maschel, I wrote in my notes, Divra Maschel Ha'ola, like he says, Ha'ola Mikol Zeb, but I don't remember what Os it was in the Minchas Chinuch, and also, you find this in the Aruch HaShulchan, Halacha L'maisa. Aruch HaShulchan is in Reish Tzadik Dalet, in Yoredeya, Reish Tzadik Dalet, Siv Gimel, that Orla actually is not something that requires Sreifa. It says Orla and Kilai Kerem, all these things don't actually require Sreifa. It's just that if you, that's the way the Chasim Sofer says, the way the Minchas Chinuch, I'll tell you the Minchas Chinuch's way first. Minchas Chinuch says, it's just a mitzvah ba'alma that if you're going to destroy it, you should destroy it via sreifa. It's not that there's a chi of sreifa. Right? The Chasim Sofer phrases it a little differently. Chasim Sofer basically says that he saw his rebbeim, I assume he's referring to Rav Nosson Adler, says he saw Rav Nosson Adler, he never burned orla. If he had orla, he would just leave it on the ground and wait till it rotted. Right? But he never burned it. So he said it must be that when Chazal say you're supposed to burn the orla, it meant that once you burn the orla, it's mutter to be nehneh from the ashes of the orla. Let's say you wanted to somehow get hana, you needed ashes for whatever purpose. You're making a chasana, you wanted some ashes, and the only thing you had around to burn was orla, or you had an old-time Gemara Shabbos oven and you wanted to do real ketima on your oven, I don't know. So you you had a suit as a mafsek is coming up, right? So you needed some ashes, so you decided. Wait, which one is taking out the coals and which one is covering them? Grufa is covering them, or which one is which?
Blech is ketuma.
All right, so I got it right. Okay, I wasn't sure. As I'm saying it, I'm like maybe I was grufa versus ketima. I wasn't sure. Okay, whatever. Maisa, there is. You want to be matar shahia on in your old time Talmudic oven, so you need ashes, or you. So what are you trying to do here with these ashes? So if you wanted to, whatever you're trying to do, if you wanted to use the orla to make ashes, it's mutter to get hana after you burn it. Mashenkin basa b'chalav. Chasim Sofer assumes that if you were going to burn the basa b'chalav, you would still be usher to get hana from the ashes. So he's saying that when it says you should burn these things, it means if you want to get hana in any way, shape, or form from the orla or the kilayah kerem, you should burn it. Lav dafka that you have a chiv to burn it. This is no chiv whatsoever. Right, and the Aruch HaShulchan goes so far as to write that there's no chiv min haTorah to burn anything except for Avodah Zarah and Chametz B'Pesach. Those are the only two things that you have a chiyuv to burn. Other than that, everything else is, you can find a way to dispose of it. So it's possible that that's what Tosfos was saying, that there's no chiyuv to be mevayer the orla, there's no chiyuv to destroy orla, right? And that which it says in the Mishnah in Temur is just telling you, under whatever circumstances you want to dispose of it, these are the means of disposal. But Lav Dafka, that it was trying to tell you that there is a trying to tell you there's a chiyuv to burn it. Okay. So maybe one last point. There's a... There's a shach in the beginning of Simen Peches. Beginning of Simen Peches, which is the halachas of not putting basar and cholam on the same table. It's based on the Mishnah in Chulin, in Maseches Chulin on Daf Kuftal, that you're not supposed to be male basar and cholam on the same table. I told you that in Maisa when I was in SKA. 1 year I was in SKA. I told that we learned that Mishnah. We're doing Hilchus Kashrus, some random sugis in Kashrus. So we're talking about not putting basar and cholam on the same table. So the Gemara says that's not. What's the worst thing that could happen? So the Gemara says it's not going to be a problem because it's never going to be nisa d'oraisa. Why not? Because what do you put on the table? You put a kli, you put a kli sheni on the table. You don't put a kli rishon on the table. So the Gemara says such a lashon. I don't remember if that's the exact lashon. Shema yalab ilfer osachas. Maybe you can actually put the pot on the table, and then you're going to wind up having a kli rishon on the table. And if you mix the kli rishon with the basar v'chol, then you're going to violate basar v'chol of d'oraisa. So I remember they thought that was ridiculous. Who would ever put a kli rishon, a pot on the table? How could that be? It's not true. Right? So I said, what are you talking about? There's like a whole genre of pots that are supposed to go on the table. Right? There's no... So I said there's a name for them. I didn't remember what it was at the time, but since then I remember it's called oven to tableware. I said, you guys never use like a trivet? Like a thing you put under the pot so it doesn't burn the table? I said, that's because you have a kli rishon that's coming onto the table. They said, nah, never heard of it. Mom, a whole room full of girls. I knew how to cook better than them. I don't know. All right, Lamaisa, so that's the lashon of the Mishnah. We're choshish that you're going to put a kli rishon on the table. What? I don't know. All right, so that's the lashon of the Mishnah. So they talk about, what about if there are two people, right? What if there are two people? One is eating milchiks and one is eating fleishiks, so do you have to do anything? So the Mechaber in Sif Beis writes, Hada asel alos al shulchan dafka b'shnei b'nei adam, hamakirim zeze, afil he makpidim zelze. Two guys, even if mooching is disallowed, even if they don't share. Right? If it's two different people, if they know each other, so there's like a low plug that even if they're makpid, that the one shouldn't mooch from the other, they're not allowed to be on the same table, one eating milchiks, one eating fleishiks. But an achsenai, two people who just happen to be at a restaurant together or in a cafeteria, and they're both sitting at the same table, she'ein makirim zezeh mutter. It's an interesting halacha. You're allowed to have one guy in a kosher cafeteria eating milchiks, another guy in a kosher cafeteria eating fleishiks. If they don't know each other, then they don't have to have anything going on. You can just have one guy eating milchiks, one guy eating fleishiks. And they said, even if they know each other, if v'masu shum heker, kigon shekolechad ochal amapa shalo, or afilo ochal amapa achas, v'nosan b'nei pas lehekera mutter. So they say that if they make a heker, like one has a milchik tablecloth, one has a fleshik tablecloth, or a placemat, or whatever, or if there's some type of a chatzitza in the middle, so then that'll be good enough. So that's the halach in Shulchan Aruch. So the shach over here discusses, What about chametz? Is there a reason to say that by chametz we're looking at it a little bit differently? So he quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba that says a nachri haba im chametz. So if you have a nachri that comes together with his chametz, you cannot eat on the same table as he's eating, regardless of anything. He says. And that's the Psak Halach in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is in Hilchos Pesach, Simin Tuf Mem, Sif Gimel. Paskin's like the Tshuvas HaRashba. And the Shach wants to say, when it comes to Chametz, even if they have different tablecloths, you're not allowed to be on the same table as the non-Jew. But that's for a totally different reason, because the Rashba says over there, it's due to the fact that Chametz is Asur B'mashu. Meaning normally if there's going to be one micro crumb of the basar that's going to go onto the chalav or vice versa, that's not gonna worry us so much. If you didn't notice it, it's going to be bittul and you're not gonna violate any isurim. But here there's no bittul when it comes to chametz on Pesach. There's no bittul whatsoever. And therefore, the Rashba says, you can't even eat at the same table. It doesn't matter whether each one is eating on a, one's eating on a treif tablecloth, one's eating on a kosher tablecloth. It's irrelevant. Therefore, the Rashba paskins that it's totally usur. However, the Shach quotes from the Orchus Chaim, who seems to say that, wait, where's the Orchus Chaim here? One second. The Orchus Chaim is in Hilchus Chametz Matzah Os Memhei. And he says that, no, if a Nachri comes into your house or you're eating in a public area and you're eating kosher l'Pesach stuff and the Nachri is eating chametz, so he says that's the regular din of Shnei Achsanoim. And the halach is, if you don't know each other, then you don't eat anything. So it's mashma, that's interesting, that the Orchus Chaim holds that not only is in the case of chametz on Pesach, which is clearly a davar ha'asur, not only in chametz on Pesach do we treat the din like regular shnei achsanoim, meaning if you don't know the guy and he doesn't know you, you don't need any different tablecloths, and if you do know each other, you do need different tablecloths. So that would apply to a nachri who's eating a cheeseburger, or not even a cheeseburger, he's eating a nevela burger, and you're eating a kosher burger. So the halacha would be, if you don't know each other, then you don't need a separate tablecloth, and if you do know each other, then you do need separate tablecloths. But that's actually a chumrah in the other direction. His kula by Hilchos Chametz seems to indicate a chumrah by Hilchos Machalos Asuros. Why? Because normally it's a pashut svara that if a guy's eating treif and a guy's eating kosher, you don't need any hefsik. Why not? Because what's the whole reason for the hefsik? Because we're afraid that you're going to share, right? But if you're not going to share, if there's no way in a million years that you're going to share with each other, so what do you need a reminder? I need a reminder that I don't eat at McDonald's? I'm saying the guy's eating McDonald's. I'm eating whatever, kosher delight, I don't know. So I have a havamina that I'm going to, oh, I wonder how a McDonald's burger tastes. I'm going to have that instead. Like, what's the havamina? There's no reason for a reminder there. The guy's eating buzz. The guy's eating challah. I just had challah 5 minutes ago. So, all right, I remember that's pretty good cheese that he's eating over there. Maybe I want some. So I'm going to forget. So I need a hecker to remind me that I'm eating on the fleshic tablecloth, he's eating on the milchic tablecloth. But when it comes to nevelis and treifas, I don't need a reminder. So it comes out, according to the Orchus Chaim, it sounds like if you're eating nevela, if the guy's eating nevela, you still need a reminder. So he's makel by chametz on Pesach, that whatever the din of Shnei Achsanoim is going to be the same by chametz. And he's machmir, he ends up being machmir for all year round. That if somebody's eating non-kosher at the same table as me, then I need a reminder. So the Shach says, nah, not so fast. The Shach says that really the Orchus Chaim would agree that chametz is different. He says, why? He says, because the svar of our Tosfos. The svar of our Tosfos is what? Chametz is lo bedili minei. Chametz is lo bedili minei, and also he throws in a second svar of al halechem yichya ha'odom, right? That lechem is the staple food. So there's a bigger chashash that people are going to share bread than anything else. So he says that lechem is the staple food, and also it's something which is lo bedili minei. Chametz with Pesach is lo bedili minei, but chazer and nevelos and treifas, that's something which a person is usher to all year round. So he wants to say at the end of the day, the Orchus Chaim holds. Even, you know, he would even hold that when it comes to nevelos and treifas, you don't need a hecker. But when it comes to chametz and Pesach, so he's not choshish for the Rashba, that the crumb of the chametz is going to get mixed together with the crumb of the matzah. That's not what he's worried about. He's just saying that whatever the standard rules are for heter, they should apply to chametz as well, because chametz is lo bedili minei, and it's also al lechem yichya adam, because bread is such a common food. So that's another application of the svara of the Tosfos, halacha l'maisa, in regular Hilchos Machalos Asuros, that the Shach wants to say that when it comes to non-kosher food and things which are normally something that you would never avail yourself of, there's no need for a hecker whatsoever. It's only when it comes to chametz on Pesach that we're going to say that there might be a need for a hecker if it's at all shayach that the nachri who's eating the chametz would share with you. You understand? Unclear. Pashtus is, the Rashba would say, that this has no bearing on Nevela whatsoever. Why should it relate to the case of Nevela at all? Because the Rashba has a separate chashash altogether. He's a chashash of Tarovis. That if the guy is eating a sandwich, maybe one little micro crumb from his sandwich is going to mix in with your matzah sandwich, and then it's going to be
right.
It's going to be not batel.
So why wouldn't that apply
by non-kosher? Well, okay, so a micro crumb of non-kosher will mix together with my kosher food. That doesn't bother me so much. If you see it, you have to try to find it and get rid of it. But if you don't see it, then it's batel. So that's the difference of Pesach and all year round. All right, that was just a side point. It's also shaykh to the Svar of Tosfos.